Good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord that we can worship Him this morning. We worship Him together, but we are spread out, and maybe even spread out by time. If we watch this later on in the week, we still worship the Lord. We still are one in His Spirit. We are one body. There is one Lord, and we are His body. We are brothers and sisters together. Mike read some of the beautiful, powerful passages which we've not so long ago studied. Some of the many passages in the New Testament, particularly all of Scripture, that call us to love one another. It's a beautiful phrase, a beautiful reality for God's people if we are ones who love one another. But what does that mean? We all know, and we often make jokes about how we, in our culture, we've really downplayed the word love. We've really turned it into something very trite and very easy. But we inherently know, and we stop and pause, as I pray we do right now, to meditate on God, that when God uses the word love, He's calling us to something very deep, very profound, very costly, even. Love sounds like it's so easy. To love someone is going to require something of us. And so I'm thankful to God and thankful to a dear brother of ours, Pablo Polachek, who really helped me think about where we are in our current life and day here and all that's going on in culture and church and pandemic and politics and all blah, you know the list. And think about it in terms of our passage for this morning, which is Romans chapter 14, and this morning we'll look at verses 1 through 12. This is, I think, one way that God has called us, God has commanded us, because these are going to be in the form of commands, to love one another. He's not going to use that language, but I think we'll see how this is an actual way to love one another. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. This morning we will look at verses 1 through 12. Hear the word of the Lord. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him. But not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. This is God's word. Loving one another. Again, that phrase is not used in this passage. But I want to suggest to us that this passage tells us one very practical way that we can love one another, that we can fulfill the command, the call of God upon us as Christians, as sisters and brothers in Jesus Christ. Loving one another. The first part of this passage in verses 1 through 3 says, Do not despise or judge one another. Do not despise or judge one another. Now, in the opening part of this passage, and really throughout the passage, it's describing two groups of Christians. One is called the strong. One is called the weak. Now, they're not physically strong and physically weak. It says weak or strong in the faith, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they're shallow. The one group is strong believers in Christ, and one group is shallow believers in Christ, or not very mature in their faith. This is in Rome here, and the Roman church had both Gentiles and Jews in the church. And we know, for example, based upon church history and the book of Acts, but also from Paul's examples he's giving here, that there were real challenges with merging these two different cultures together, these two different ways of thinking and living and understanding life all around them, of understanding worship and who God is. We tend not to have this particular challenge for us today. Many of us come from a more Christian cultural background before we came to Christ, for many of us. But here were some who were saying that to eat food, probably, that has been sacrificed to idols, that was anti-Christian. And you have some saying, well, God has declared all things are good, and so you can eat food sacrificed to idols. Christians can do that. That's okay. And it seems that there was a real struggle, a real divide between these two groups. Because the ones who want to abstain from eating certain foods calls them weak, and the ones who don't abstain as the strong. And he has a message for both groups of command for both groups. He says to those who are strong that they are to do two things, which are really one, but he gives the positive and the negative. He says from the negative that you're not to despise those who are weak. That you are not to look at your brothers and sisters who have a different thought process, who have a different belief on how they're going to worship God, and despise them for it. The positive side, he says, is that you are, instead of despising them, to welcome them. Now, that word welcome there is a very, very powerful, very deep form of gathering, of fellowshipping, of communing with someone. Not just saying, well, it's okay to have your way, but you're wrong. but to truly come together as brothers and sisters, even though they have very strong difference of opinions on this one way to worship God. In fact, it even says in verse 1 here that when they are to welcome those who are weak, they're not to quarrel over opinions. They're not to fight about this. The message he has for those who abstain, those whom he calls weak, is that they are not to judge those who he calls strong. They're not to look at the strong who are eating all things and judge them for it and say, oh, well, they're not really spiritual. They're not really following Christ as much as I am. Or maybe, how can they be Christians if they're eating food sacrificed to idols? We have one church, one body, with different belief systems, firmly held here. And the danger, the temptation, is to divide, is to despise and judge one another. And Paul says we are not to do that. You see, this would be the opposite of love. This would be the opposite of loving one another. One thing that I always think about when I read this passage, when Paul is writing to the church at Rome, it's pretty clear who is, well, we may not know, but when they receive this letter from Paul, it's pretty obvious who he's calling weak and who he's calling strong, because the weak ones are the ones who are abstaining from food. He gives a very specific example here. But as I read this and try to apply it to my life, the question I always come to is, which one am I? How many of us, when you heard the passage this morning, said, oh, I am the weak one? Probably not. Whatever our held opinions are about anything to do with church or worship or our worship of God, we tend to think that we're the strong one and it's the other people who are weak or the other people who are wrong or the other people who are stupid. Some other pejorative term. I think it's important for us, I would suggest, to look at it from both positions. To say there are probably some ways in which maybe I am would be kind of in the strong camp, and there are some situations in which I am probably in the weak camp. And it's a very similar call to both. Do not despise, do not judge. Different words, different, but such overlap there. That we are not to despise one another who have different beliefs. And we are not to judge one another who have different beliefs. Now, he is speaking here to Christians. He's not saying that you need to accept and welcome in someone who rejects Christ. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about, Paul is talking about, in the church, to the church. He then goes on in the second section, verses 4 through 9, to give the theological reason, the why we are not to despise and judge one another. Because the Lord alone is our master, is each of our masters. Opens in verse 4 with the question, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? He paints the picture here that each and every one of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, that He is our Master, He is our Lord, it is to Him that we give account. He is the one who directs us. He is the one who leads us. He is the one from whom we receive instruction and discipleship. He is the one who forms us. And if we receive that from the Lord, who are we to say what God is doing in your life is wrong? we never say that. What we say is, you are wrong in how you think and how you act on how you believe. But every single one of us who believes in Jesus Christ, who is born again, who has trusted Jesus Christ and called upon Him to be our Savior, and thus we are born again, every one of us has the Lord as our Master. Not each other. It's the Lord whom we serve. And Paul reminds us that each one of us then, in verse 5 and 6, each one of us, should, whatever we believe, we should hold on to those beliefs very strongly. We should be convinced, whether we're abstaining from food or eating food, whether we're celebrating, as he gives examples here in this middle section, whether we're celebrating certain days as more important than other days, we should be convinced that God is leading us in those ways, in those beliefs. And we should welcome one another. Because God is our Master, not one another. Maybe give one that won't be so personal right now, that won't hit us as, you know, so hard right now, but is more relevant. Baptism, for example. In our congregation, in our church, we hold to believers' baptism. We hold to that very firmly. We believe that that is the mode of baptism that God has called us to. And we have wonderful brothers and sisters, God-fearing, God-loving brothers and sisters around the world throughout the history of the church who believe in covenantal baptism, which would be parents having their children baptized even as babies. And we don't have to waver, I would suggest to us, on our convictions about that. Because it's to the Lord that we answer. We should be convinced of what we believe. And we welcome one another. We love one another. We don't judge them. We don't shake our heads at them. We don't say, you're not real believers. How can you do that? How could you ever believe that? We welcome them. And we love them. With all of our heart, with all of our actions, with all of our thoughts about them, with all of our words about them when they're not present, we honor them. We listen to them. Why? Because the Lord is our Master, not each other. Well, in the third and final section of this passage this morning, Paul sort of summarizes this whole section. He again is going to say what we are and are not to do, judging and despising each other, and the why together now, because each one of us will have to stand before the Lord who is our Master. Verses 10 through 12. He starts with another question in verse 10. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or why do you despise your brother? Speaking to both groups here. And why must we not pass judgment or despise each other? Middle of verse 10, for we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, where we shall all bow our knee, where all of our tongues will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. From every denominational background, from every belief in baptism, from every belief in end times, we will all be gathered before the throne. And we will give account to our Master. We'll not give an account for our brothers and sisters. We'll give account for ourselves. And every knee will bow. Oh, just pause there for a second. Oh, what a glorious day. Oh, what a glorious day. When we shall see Jesus face to face. All sin will be gone. True love will reign within us, through us, to one another, and mostly to Jesus, in whose presence we will dwell for eternity. But each of us will give an account to God, so be convinced of what we believe. And we will give an account for how we treat one another, how we think about each other, how we respond to each other. So, the reason why I'm so thankful for being brought back to this passage again by dear friend Pablo Polachek is I think we all see the divides that are happening in our society. And those divides are coming into churches. We can look at politics and see how it's dividing us. We can also look at the pandemic and how it's dividing us. How we feel about masks, how we feel about quarantining, how we feel about what we should and shouldn't be allowed to do. And I would again suggest that it's okay to have deeply held beliefs on these things. What I believe God insists we not do is despise or judge others who think differently than we do. And not even just think neutral towards them, but welcome one another. Welcome one another. Accommodate one another. Out of love, be willing to put aside what we think for the sake of another. So Paul will later say, look, if you have a conviction where you can eat all foods and you're with your brother who doesn't share that conviction, guess what? Don't eat the food. Accommodate your brother. Love them. Go out of your way to say, I know I can eat all foods, to yourself, but say, for the sake of my brother, I'm not going to. All right, is this all leading somewhere? Yes, I hope so. I hope so. You ready? Here's the big announcement. We waited to this moment to bring it out, okay? Everybody on the edge of their couches? No, the internet didn't just freeze. I just stopped. All right. After so much work and so much prayer, we are going next Sunday to begin in-person services again. Okay? I'm thrilled about. We are also going to continue to stream on Facebook Live because there are some of us who are not able and are choosing before God, not to be present with others. And those who are choosing that it's okay to be present, we must help one another, love one another, not despise or judge one another. We must make accommodations, whatever our beliefs are, for one another. We also, which is not the passage this morning, but in Romans 13, Paul tells us to submit to the governmental authorities placed above us. And we have some limitations placed upon us by the governor at this time. So we'll gather together next week. Again, also Wednesday night, come on out, 6:30 for our sacred assembly. And then Sunday morning, at 10 o'clock, we'll gather. But we've got to wear masks. We've got to sanitize. We've got to sit separated. We can't hug. We have lists of things that you know, when you walk in, and most of you know them anyway, the temptation is going to be so great for one or some of us, for me too, to just want to reach out and hug and say, oh, who cares? But for the sake of loving one another, I must care. If I think it's safe to go hug someone for the sake of others, I must refrain out of love for others. If I think it's okay to not wear a mask for the sake of others, I wear a mask, and for the sake of submitting to the authorities over us. This is a wonderful opportunity, yes, to get together, to see each other, to worship God together. But it's also a wonderful opportunity to love one another, to bless one another. And you know, we're going to see how it goes. We're going to make mistakes. But everyone's purpose and everyone's intentions here are good. Let us think the best of one another. Each one of us serves the Lord as our master and desires what is good for the body. So I know this comes, you know, comes out quickly, and it's next week and all that. And some, again, will not be able to be here, and we'll still fellowship together through the internet. But this is an opportunity for us to worship the Lord and to love one another. And so from this passage, and for next week, and for all of our lives, let us humble ourselves for the sake of loving one another. Let us humbly serve and submit to one another, humbly, not despising, not judging, welcoming, encouraging, strengthening, thinking the best of, loving one another. Let's pray. Father God, I do pray that as we look to resume in-person services, that you would protect us and you would bless us, O God. Thank you for this opportunity to put our faith in action, to put our love in action, O God. Lead us, Father, that we would humbly love one another as we follow you, our Master. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.